think the reading of Scripture is the central and the most sacred part of our morning worship. Our epistle this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 to 6, in which we learn that our calling is to be the conscience of the people who resist the gospel. And we do it by the way we live. And so we commend Christ, not ourselves. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, which is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Bruce.
This reading is from 2 Kings chapter 2, from verse 1 to 14, and I'm reading from the Message. Just before God took Elijah to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on a walk out of Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. God has sent me on an errand to Bethel." Elisha said, "Not on your life. I'm not letting you out of my sight." So they both went to Bethel. The guild of prophets at Bethel met Elisha and said, "Did you know that God is going to take your master away from you today?" "Yes," he said, "I know it, but keep it quiet." Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. God has sent me on an errand to Jericho." Elisha said, "Not on your life. I'm not letting you out of my sight." So they both went to Jericho. The guild of prophets at Jericho came to Elisha and said, "Did you know that God is going to take your master away from you today?" "Yes," he said, "I know it, but keep it quiet." Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. God has sent me on an errand to the Jordan." Elisha said, "Not on your life. I'm not letting you out of my sight." And so the two of them went their way together. Meanwhile, 50 men from the guild of prophets gathered some distance away while the two of them stood at the Jordan. Elijah took his coat, rolled it up, and hit the water with it. The river divided, and the two men walked through on dry land. When they reached the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, "What can I do for you before I'm taken from you? Ask anything." Elisha said, "Your life repeated in my life. I want to be a holy man just like you." "That's a hard one," said Elijah. "But if you're watching when I'm taken from you, you'll get what you've asked for, but only if you're watching." And so it happened. They were walking along and talking. Suddenly, a chariot and horses of fire came between them, and Elijah went up in a whirlwind to heaven. Elisha saw it all and shouted, "My father, my father, you, the chariot and cavalry of Israel." When he could no longer see anything, he grabbed his robe and ripped it into pieces. Then he picked up Elijah's cloak, that had fallen from him, returned to the shore of the Jordan and stood there. He took Elijah's cloak, all that was left of Elijah, and hid the water with it, saying, "Now where is the God of Elijah? Where is he?" When he struck the water, the river divided, and Elisha walked through.
The Gospel reading is from Mark chapter 9, beginning at the second verse. And this is the story, well-known story, how Jesus took Peter and James and John to a very high mountain and was transformed or completely changed before them. And the reason is this, that it may help us to understand that in Christ's suffering we see the glory of God. Let us hear this word of God. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and went up into a high mountain where they were all alone. Then he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And they appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He didn't know what he was saying. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them. And a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. And they were coming down from the mountain. Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. May God bless his reading from his word.
Thank you, Bruce. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So you might have figured out by now that today is Transfiguration Sunday. That's the last Sunday of Epiphany. That means Lent starts next week. We're heading on a journey toward Easter. The year is zooming through already. Lent, Epiphany finishes, and Lent finishes both with Jesus on a hill. Here, Jesus in dazzling white in glory. Soon it will be on a cross. So here we are back in the Gospel of Mark, which hopefully you are now starting to know a bit about. So 4 factors that you know about Mark, please. Written to the Gentiles, urgency, Peter already.
Concise,
Reader's Digest version. And out of the mouths of Peter, eyewitness account, it was Mark who was in the story of Acts with Paul and Barnabas and was in part of that little argument. And speaking out of the eyewitness account of Peter. See, you guys already know something quite significant about Mark, don't you, as Mark's gospel. And when I come to this reading of Mark and the transfiguration, it's kind of easy to get caught up in the whole Elijah and Moses bit of the story, because that's quite dramatic, you know, that we have Moses and Elijah there. And they're the two, you know, big names in the Old Testament. And the two that had this story around them, that they went directly to heaven, that they didn't die. So we read the story now of Elijah going up in the chariot to heaven. And the Moses story developed because there's no stated burial place of Moses. So that kind of became a developed tradition out of that. And also, they're symbolising the law and the prophet. So Moses, who gave the law, and Elijah, a prophet. They're showing all the stuff that's come up, that Jesus is now the fulfilment. So up there on the mountain, amongst these greats, there's Jesus as the one that is dazzling white. The glory of God is seen in Jesus, not in Moses or Elijah. So this ultimate fulfilment and glory is in a new way in this man, Jesus. It's then that the cloud comes over, and we know that the cloud was a symbol of God's presence, and out of the cloud comes the voice of God. And God speaks, which is a pretty key thing when God speaks. And what does God say? This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. Where have we heard those words before? Already in Mark, right near the beginning. That is baptism, that's right. So when Jesus was baptized, we had the "This is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased." So now God is adding on this extra bit, which is the listen to him. So obviously we're going somewhere new with the listen to him. So that's pretty key. God, this is all happening and God is speaking, and these disciples are being told to listen to Jesus. They're not going to forget this. They know that this is this moment. So you think Peter's up there. This is, remember, the eye cloak in that story from the Book of Kings. And wanting to be holy like Elijah, he has to take off his familiar cloak and take on that of Elijah's. We know that Elijah is going to heaven right from the start of the passage. It opens with it. This is what's going to happen. Elijah is about to be taken to heaven. And there are those two men walking down a road, and Elijah wants to head off alone. He says he's got an errand to do, and Elisha says, no way. So they continue on together. They arrive in Bethel, and this group of prophets come up to them, tell Elisha that God is going to take Elijah, just in case he didn't know. He says, I know, but I don't want to talk about it. Then the whole scenario happens all over again. Elijah seeks to go off by himself. He's got an errand to do. Elisha says, They continue on together, this time to Jericho. Another group of prophets come, tell Elisha, God is going to take Elijah away today. He acknowledges it and he says, but I don't want to talk about it. Whole situation happens again. This time Elijah wants to go to the Jordan. And Elisha says, I'm going with you. This time the group of prophets don't come and tell them what's going to happen. They gather at a distance and watch what's going on. So these two men are standing there at the Jordan River. And Elijah takes off his cloak and he whacks the water with it, and the water separates. It's a sign of God's presence with them, the holiness of Elijah leading the way through into this hard place that they're going. It's an extraordinary moment probably for Elisha, watching Elijah do that and walking through the water beside him, through the dry bit between the water. And then they get to the other side, and Elijah says to Elisha, what can I do for you before I'm taken away? Ask me anything. And it's this beautiful moment before the ultimate separation of these two in death, or in life separation. And Elisha says, I want my life, your life repeated in me. I want your life repeated in me. I want to be a holy man, just like you. Wow. And Elijah goes, that's going to be really hard. That's no easy road. But you're going to have to watch. And it's interesting, there's so many similarities. God was saying, yes, you've got this road to walk, but you're going to have to listen. Elisha's got a road to walk, and you're going to have to watch. Be alert to what you need to hear and to see. And then it says, and then it happened. Elijah is taken away. And there's this awful moment of grief when Elisha screams, tears his cloak into little pieces, and he then takes Elijah's cloak and he's screaming and saying, "Where are you, God?" And he's hitting the water with the cloak. And it's this very powerful image of what Elisha is experiencing. And right there when he's saying, "Where are you, God?" and he hits the water and the waters part, and that's the moment of God's presence. You know, that God is right there in that hard moment for Elisha, and calling him to walk back to where he's been. He's got to go back and be that holy man that he wants to be with the new cloak, going back. He let go of his own cloak and he put on the new cloak. We may be blessed and we may have some wonderful mountaintop experiences, but we're led back down the valley. We're led back through the river to the places where things are ordinary, where things are difficult, where we get hurt, where we can feel alone. But in those very places, Jesus is present. That's why he needed to go to the cross, so that he could be present in the very hardest places of life. That's the promise of transfiguration, not just that the glory of God is there on the mountaintop, but that it's also found in the valley below, in the very hardest parts of our lives. So be it. Amen. Let us join.